Hi, this is Bob Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with Dario Ciarella from Naples Together. So welcome, Dario. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I was just saying to my wife this morning, it's been just a little less than a year since we've been there, and I can't believe a year's gone by so fast. As you could tell from my background, everybody, I'd rather be in Naples than in New Jersey right now. Before we talk about Naples Together, where's your family from in Italy?
Yeah, Bob. So we're a family from Naples, Italy, and that is as long as I know. However, my last name is Cirella, and Cirella, we you know, and that's a story that goes with our family, of course. Cirella is a small island in Calabria, and so the belief is that the people that would back in the day would be in Cirella were the dukes of Cirella, so they were also dukes. And I'm not saying that I'm a duke or I have dukes in my family, but yeah, I generally think that that is our origin. So starting from, I don't know when. So I do know that also the grandfathers of my grandfathers were from Naples, and that's the only thing, like it stops there. But it should be absolutely from Cirella. As you know, the last names here in Italy are pretty much an open book. Just to know what at least what your family did, or you know, if it was like a kind of work, or if it was like a city, or if you were for a son of an Antonio or a son of Gennaro, so and you would get the last names of Di Gennaro and Antonio and so on. So I do believe it's coming from Calabria. However, again, I'm from the beautiful Naples. I don't know if you know, Bob, but a couple of days ago on Sunday we won the league, and that was a lot in the city, and we partied all over the place. It was a week ago, you know, on Thursday. So the people that were here in Naples didn't know what was going on, some of them at least. And then they just saw a lot of people in the streets and just partying. And yeah, it was a wild night, I gotta be honest. After 33 years, the Naples team of soccer, of course, won the league.
Oh, that's great. Congratulations. So I'll tell you a funny story. I think it was 1980 that Italy won the World Cup?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was. I'm pretty sure it was 1980 because I was living in
my
neighborhood in Queens in New York was pretty Italian, and I wasn't paying attention to anything. And then all of a sudden, through the street, there were Italian flags and horns blowing, and I'm like, "What's going on here?" And then I realized that Italy won the World Cup. That's why all the Italians were out there in the street today. But that's interesting now.
Yeah,
about,
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. We're still partying, and it's a wild situation because we ended up winning on a sad Thursday night, and that was, I say sad because we could have won like during the weekend, so the party would have gone so bad, but it was on a weird Wednesday and Thursday night, and it was amazing to see a lot of people going to the streets, even if it was like 11 p.m. And you had the whole city all over the streets, and it was amazing. The party went till 6 a.m. and it's still going. I mean, if you go through the streets of Naples, it is something that you can't even imagine. I mean, we're a lot of people that still live in Naples, they haven't seen this because it's been since, you know, 33 years. So you always listen to your dad or your grandfather about what was, you know, the victory of the Scudetto. And now we got it. And now we see what that is. And we were just crazy. And it was amazing. I can tell you that. It was just out of this world.
That's too funny. But now it's interesting about your family, Cirella, because, you know, same thing with my grandmother. And I didn't know this until I really started researching and looking into the Italian nobles and everything that in the Kingdom of the Two Sicilies, that they all lived in Naples basically and would only go back to the towns maybe once or twice a year to collect the taxes. And the nobles didn't pay any taxes. They just collected taxes and, you know, lived very wealthy lives. And it was the same thing with her family, because her father's family was from Calabria in Fossato and Montebello, and then her father's mother's side was from Capocotta, and then also you probably know that Caracciolo, so big shot.
Absolutely. A lot. I mean, that was great. Yeah, and not only that, but also people involved in the church. So people that were either, priests or noble people that, the high class, the top tier class, as they like to say, you didn't pay any tax. And then of course it was all on the poor side of the population. And that's how the French Revolution basically started. So people just went, nope. Not me, not me anymore. You guys got to pay taxes as well. And so everything just, yeah. But in Naples, that's the beautiful thing that you said, because you're Sorrentino, so your last name. So you know better than me about, our coast, the beautiful coast that we have here, the Costiera Amalfitana and Sorrentina, just like your last name. But we have a lot of people here that have kind of origins, and especially now are residing in the States, and they come up to me. Of course, we can talk about Naples together later, but they come up to me and they always talk about how their grandmothers, their grandfathers were talking about Naples, and this also helped the city getting a little bit more spread, especially in the States. I think, a little bit more known, rather than, the usual Rome or the usual Milan or Florence or Venice. And I think that helped as well, especially during, the very first beginning of the 20th century, where people here in this area were going to New York to find work and to find labor. So, and I still got some people that, talk me about it and be like, oh, my grandfather used to speak Italian. They always tell me to go to Naples, and now we're finally here in the memory of my grandfather. And that's always beautiful when people come up to me and talk about that.
Well, yeah, and the first time we went to Italy was like 25 or 26 years ago, and the only part of Naples I saw, we went to Rome first, and then we got in got off the train in Naples, went across the street, got a rental car, and drove to Sorrento, and we had spent a week down there. My son was a baby, and we just it was more of a just a relaxing vacation than anything else. So I didn't really get to see Naples until this last trip, and I just love it. We stayed in the historic center, and it's hard to describe the feeling when you're in a city like that. I'm used to New York, that's 300 years old, and Naples is a few thousand years old, so it's a bit
Yeah.
different.
It's beautiful, because if you walk through the city, I mean, you can still see 1,000 years old things. There is one thing in particular. I don't know if you have it in the back, but you got something in the back of your picture, and that's a castle. But we got plenty of castles here in my hometown, and one of the castles that people always ask me is called the Mascangelino, which is at the port of Naples. So try to imagine, you want to go to Capri, for example, which is a very well-known island, and in order to get the ferry, you're gonna walk through history, because it's gonna be like the castle right in front of you. And then it's a castle that's called, again, the Mascangelino. It comes from the 12th century. And if you go there and you visit the castle, you go up to the basement, you're gonna see the Roman era, because that's where the Romans were, also the Greeks were, because we're a Greek city. And they're currently going under a construction site where the castle is, and they're trying to build within the metro line a museum, because they found three Roman ships. So it's amazing, that you just walk through history, and just like what happens when you go to Rome. But don't forget about Naples as well. Naples has been around since not only a couple of years or 100 years, as you said. It's been literally thousands of years. And still to a day, we have things that would go from the Renaissance, from the Enlightenment, and from back to Roman or the Greek area. And that's so for those who are, of course, history fans, Naples is the way to go. And also foodie fans, Naples is the way to go. Cultural activities. Naples is just beautiful, Bob. I mean, you mentioned that before. But if you go into the historical center, that's where actually where people live. Although now it's becoming populated by tourists, but it's still not a touristy area because people live there and they live their life. So it's not like going maybe to, I've never been to New York, but I can imagine. I mean, if you go right in the middle of New York, there will be people that actually live there, but there are a lot of tourists, of course. Naples is a mix. So you can find yourself in a shop where people, and usual people and people from Naples actually go there and buy the groceries, and it's going to be the same quality. And you can meet people and try to exchange some words. Bear in mind, they're not going to speak your language, and you guys are not going to speak their language, but you will understand them, and they will understand you. And it's just a mix of cultures, a mix of happiness, and it's amazing. I just love it.
Yeah, and I experienced what you said firsthand because I will go out for
Yeah.
coffee every morning, and he didn't speak any English at all, and I speak very little Italian. But by the end of the week, he knew what I wanted, and we were able to
Yeah,
converse,
you were
like you said. And
friends.
we're Italian, so we use our hands a lot anyway. So,
Exactly. It's
but
amazing. Yeah, again.
to your point, I mean, the picture behind me, as beautiful as it is, still doesn't do that
Yeah.
view justice.
No. Yeah.
And as we were going up the hill there, Gianfranco, our driver, kept trying to look out the window, and he said, "Don't look yet, don't look yet. You have to wait until we get to the. I'll tell you when to look." So we had to go all the way up to the
Yes.
top and look. And when we got to the top, there was a church there, and there was a wedding going on. So it was really,
Oh.
really very interesting. And I think it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and we were like, "There's a wedding going on, or a Tuesday or Wednesday?" And he said,
Yeah.
"Oh, in Naples, there's a
Yeah.
wedding every day."
Yes, there's yeah, it's always a great occasion to party. Whatever you got in your agenda, and you talk to people. Okay, even a wedding, even if you don't know the person, sometimes you just stand out there and they'd be like, "Come have a drink with us." It's amazing, it's very a celebration every single day for some reason, for whatever reason. Neapolitans don't like to be unhappy or sad, but the city might have some problems here and there. At least that's what a lot of people come up to me and they'd be like, "Okay, but is it true that you have criminals? Is it true that they stole, that they steal watches? Is it true that you, where does not that happen?" Right? I mean, it was everywhere. I had some beautiful people from Germany. And they left a camera, and it was a very important camera, in the middle of a square that was flooded with people. It was a lot of people in that square. And it was just like 2 seconds, and then it turned, and they'd be like, "Where's my camera?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's up to you. Where did you have it?" The end of the day, luckily enough, the camera wasn't stolen. The camera was taken by some young people that want to change a little bit this perspective, and they wanted to play a game with them. They wanted just to be like, "You guys need to be more responsible of what you're doing, because it's not us stealing, it's you guys forgetting where the camera was." So luckily enough, nothing happened. But it's one of those things. You go to every city in the world, I should say, and you always got to be careful about your pockets, about whatever. But it's not happening now like it used to happen, because now people have understood that tourism means, it means money. It means a good thing for the population of Naples, for the people of Naples. And now you can see a lot of better breakfasts being open. People are getting much more into the business of tourism, and that is a positive atmosphere, because now people are understanding how to deal with tourists and understanding that tourism means long run. Doesn't mean, I'm gonna get $20 now and then tomorrow I'll see. No, it means I'm gonna go like really for a career where I can, open my whatever that is, better breakfast, restaurant, bar, or whatever that is. And it's growing, it's going mental, and I love that. I'm a young person, as you can tell, but a lot of people have come up to me and be like, "Dario, why don't you leave? You can speak a little bit of this language, a little bit of that language. Why don't you do it?" I just, created a business here, and it's going how it's going, and it's growing, and I prefer to do that here. And then I'll see one day. I don't know where this leads, but for now, I really want to go and present the city of Naples as it should be presented. And I'm finding the young generations also agreeing with me, and that is absolutely lovely. Believe me, It's so inspiring. So it's 100% approved, at least for me. So all good.
Yeah, and that's great. And that's a good segue into Naples together. And
Yeah.
what do you offer people who want to come to Naples with Naples Together?
Okay, so we first of all, a little bit of a background. We created Naples Together just like I was sick and tired of being going to places for other people and working for other people. But I've always been in tourism industry, and we created this right before COVID. So it was like end of 2018, and we went online on 2019. It was amazing. It was a good run. And then, of course, we had to shut things down for COVID. And so we stopped for a year and a half, pretty much. And then we restarted. And what we did at the very first beginning was like, what should we do? I mean, what do you think could be the very first thing that we should start with? And we started with a pizza making experience because why not? I mean, you're in Naples. Naples is famous for
Right.
pizza. It's 2 + 2. So let's do it. And finding the right restaurant, and then I can get into details. So we found every single thing, and we built an experience of like an hour and 15 minutes, very close to the Port of Naples. Also, people that come by cruise, and small groups. So you're not going to be like with 50 people. It's like 8 people max. And we started with that, and then from there we built a whole variety of tours. Nowadays, we especially starting from this year, we're offering like tours in Amalfi, cooking classes in Sorrento, cooking classes in Amalfi, gelato making in Sorrento. We have also things in Rome, either if you want to go to a nightlife experience in Rome or you just want to go for a cooking class. We have pizza making classes also in Ischia, for example, which is another island. We have a lot of things going on here. Also the Vesuvius, because I see you got that in the back. So we have wine tastings, everything that it's about the city, but also the culture of the South. That's what we offer, and it's going wild, Bob. This year is getting absolutely amazing, and for someone, and I don't know, the people of Naples or the people in tourism can understand. We had rough years, and it was a rough year when it comes to COVID. Seeing now people getting back at 100%, even more, because I'm experiencing now more volume than what was 2019, so before COVID. So you can imagine, how Naples now is attractive, and that has gained a huge value not only to the company and now we're building, because it's me and my brother, that's us basically. It's me and him. And it's going amazing. It's just unbelievable, and we really are looking forward this year, and it's going as promised, even more actually. So that's good. That's good, right?
Yeah, I wish I knew you. I wish I knew you last year. We could have done something together.
Absolutely. It's a
But
great
we
opportunity
did.
for you to come back. Come
Well,
on.
we're hoping to go back in September, but I have to go to where my mom comes from because we didn't get there. My mom's family was from Torito,
Okay.
and I have cousins, Piermalo cousins in Toronto. So we're gonna
Okay.
go down that way. But
Beautiful.
we hope to come back again, but we did when I was researching, we were supposed to come in 2020, in
Okay.
April, just as COVID hit,
Oh.
and we had to cancel, and we canceled a couple of times, and then finally last year was winding down, and we got just as we were coming back, even they stopped all the nonsense on the airplanes and COVID cards and all of that stuff. But we did, when I was researching, I saw there's a Sorrentino vineyard on Vesuvius. So I said to my wife, I said, well, they're not a relation, but we have to go to the I have to go taste the Sorrentino wine. And it was such a fun experience. It was last year at this time, it was very hot, and we got up there and the it was a nice breeze. We outside, and they had like a wine tasting menu and a little lunch, and it was just fabulous to go up there and do that. So that I know you do, I don't know if you do it with them, but I know you do a wine tour up there. So.
Yeah, well, we have this great partnership, and that started this year, and it was like very random, but this cantina, which is of course the winery in Italian, is dated back the 30s of the last century. So it was like 1930s more, pretty much. And I was fascinated by learning their story, because I was thinking about up to the Vesuvius in the 1930s. Now, you have to understand, Naples has changed rapidly in 90 years or whatever that is. You know, even 10, 15 years ago, Naples was a different city, you know. And thinking about how they had this consistency from the 1930 to now, and they produce the same wine the same way, the old school way. And yes, you can have a wine tasting tour on it, but also a lunch experience with a wine tasting, a dinner experience. And it's just beautiful, because you have this fields of, you know, grapes where they put a table on it, you know, in between of those grapes, and you just eat with all it's, man, I have no words to explain that, because it's just unbelievable. And we got something here. We got all those things here. But, you know, now they're coming a little bit towards the tourism industry rather than just the local industry as it was before. And now having that open to tourists, that was amazing for me. And I just went straight to the owner. I was like, we need to cooperate with this, because this is unbelievable. Not only by the history that your family has, but also where you guys are. I mean, look at this. This is amazing. This is wonderful. And helping also these wineries to get a little bit of a more international audience is amazing also for me personally, because I love the wines of our region. And I think this should be even more promoted. So not only Italian wines in general, but also the Campania region wines, so where Naples is. And doing that is amazing. We also have another wine tasting experience, which is right out the outskirt of Naples, and it's called in the Campi Flegrei area, which is an area that is dated back to the Roman era, where Romans would always make their wines over there. So they would cultivate, you know, the grapes and so on. So that it's still a very historical area for the wines. So just like Pompeii, to you know, to just give you a little bit of an example, also in Pompeii, the wine is great. And we also have a wine tasting experience there. So we try to find the locations where, historically speaking, our ancestors have always made wine, and then offering that to an international audience where they can understand that the families that are there has been there for a long, long time. And also the way that they make wine is the exact way that we used to do it back in the days. And so this kind of experiences are really something that goes beyond just, you know, tasting wine. It goes more into the historical kind of aspect of it. And you're going to drink a good bottle of wine, of course. And that is always, always accepted, right?
Absolutely.
So yes, we have those things, and they're doing how they're doing, and it's amazing. It's just amazing.
And I don't think people realize how close all of this is to Naples, how you don't have to go far out of Naples to be in the countryside, for example. Like, you know, my grandparents, my grandmother was born in Jerkola and they were married there. And what is it, maybe 20 minutes outside of Naples or something like that, and you're in the country. I mean, we went to this villa, Villa d'Egea, I think it was, and you look out and you're just seeing this green, you know, trees, and it's just you don't realize that you're 20 or 25 minutes outside of Naples.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com.
Yeah, it's amazing. And for example, there's also another area, and talking about the coast, since again you're a Sorrentino, so for me we need to talk also a little bit of the coast. Talking about the coast, I mean, you're right. You're 100% right. Also, the coast of Naples, you can get a ferry from exactly where the, well, you can't see it from the picture behind you, but the Port of Naples is just in that area. And you can get a ferry to Sorrento, and in like, what, 20 minutes for $12, you're in Sorrento. And so if you want to plan like a full day, Naples and a little bit of Sorrento, you can do it. If you want to plan like a full day Naples, Pompeii, and Vesuvius, you can do it. If you want to plan Naples, Sorrento, and Vesuvius, you can do it in a full day. So everything is very, very close. And also one thing that I can mention, we have a beautiful cooking class where you can make your mozzarella, and they're going to teach you how to make mozzarella. And they're going to teach you how to make, of course, different kinds of pasta. You're going to eat, you're going to drink a lot. And that is just right at the top of Amalfi. It's an area called Agerola. Agerola is very famous for the mozzarella. So the best mozzarella, they say, are in Agerola in general. And it's a farm. So you see people that live there, have the restaurant, they have their ingredients right there. I mean, they don't go to supermarkets. No way. You're going to make every single thing that is grown there, and you're going to pick them up. And you're gonna learn how to treat those ingredients in a way that, of course, is not like industrial kind of ingredients where you just put it in a pan and that's it. No, you're gonna learn the same way of how we're used to do it, with our grandmothers and grandfathers. And then you have a beautiful view on the Amalfi Coast because the Agerola is at the top of, let's say, a mountain, but it's not a mountain, of a hill. And from there, you can look up, look down, and you see the Amalfi Coast. One thing that I can tell you about this family. And that was amazing for me to see. This family is a local family. It's a beautiful family. It's always been in a Agerola. And the owner has, of course, well, of course, he has a son. And the son is like 12. And the son helps the family to run the experience in English. The guy is so smart. And he also takes a little bit over the restaurant. I mean, you see this picture of the father teaching the son in terms of like bills, in terms of like being a waiter, so how you should treat your customer. So he's teaching him the job, and he's now 12, but he's been doing this since he was 8. So it's
Fun.
not like a minor working. Don't think about how unfair that is. Okay, it's a family-run business where this is how we used to do it back in the day. You have your father would teach you the job. That's how we used to say, and I'm pretty sure that you guys already know this, and it's common. It's not something special in a way, but it's becoming less and less popular, especially from the generation of nowadays of 12-year-old kids. And this guy has everything in his mind. He speaks English, he goes there, he takes your plates, he takes your glasses, he's all over. And at the end of the day, he's gonna look at, the checks, the bills, have we paid, have we not paid, what we got. And you see the father going there with the kid, this is the way you should do it. So this is gonna be like an ongoing situation also with this kid. And you can meet this family. It's a beautiful, amazing thing to see if you're also into, families in general here in Italy. It's an amazing thing to see. So again, we always look for experiences where it's not only wine tasting, it's not only cooking class, but also for you to see the real deal, the real Naples, the authentic families that are here. And this is what Naples Together is all about. And we're trying to get this project further and further, and we're trying to do that in a very passionate way. But we always go on site and meet the people and meet the families and try to see if that is suitable. Also, because we want people that go there and have, this idea of how authentic they're experiencing, how the authenticity of their experience. And this is what we're trying to do. And hopefully, well, in this case, this experience is going very, very well, but it's been the first year, and the people there are so, so amazing that they're so happy, when we tell them that we have got customers and so on. So it's an ongoing thing. It's wild, Bob. It's just wild, and we're so much in love with all of this. So we hope it's getting way, way better, and it
Well,
is actually.
and that's what I try to tell people, whether it's in the podcast or other places, that you need to, that's the real Italy that you need to experience. I mean, my experience in Calabria in Fossato was just, they had a picnic for us outside, and everything was, there was nothing store-bought. The wine was made, the olive oil was made, the bread was made, the ham was made, and I tasted the capicola, and I said, oh, we don't have this in America. And they said, oh, well, we do it the same way we did it 300 years ago. We kill the pig on the day after Christmas, and we cure it, and now you eat it. And it's so matter of fact to you guys, but so foreign to us because, you know, we go buy the package of ham in the store.
There you go. There you
And the mozzarella is all, you know, in a plastic
It's all in
package
the
and everything.
fridge. Yes, I know that. I get this all the time. So I run the pizza making experience with my brother, and that is the only experience that we personally go and you know, meet our customers, and we just go with it. So we teach them every single thing about, you know, dough making, pizza making, and when it comes to two things. First, yeast, when it comes to explaining them, you know, we have a different kind of yeast that you guys have. And also the kind of mozzarellas that we have, because Bob, I'm pretty sure you know, but there is not only one mozzarella here. There are like four variants of that. You got the buffalo, you got the fior di latte, you got the mozzarella, you got the provola. So when Americans especially go there, they'll be like, really? Is that the real deal? Like, yeah, absolutely. That's it. So it's not like, you know, in bags.
Our mozzarella is like rubber, so you know.
Right. I mean, and you know, I always tell them, look, this is not, you know, oh, can we get them in the States? Well, I don't know about that, but you know, it's a little bit different, and it's not that it's better or worse, although, you know, my opinion, of course, but it is what it is. And they're very surprised about it. So when they ask me, what's the secret of your food, or how come you guys in Italy in general, or in Naples in Italy, how come your food is so great? How about that? You know, we don't buy the mozzarella in with all due respect, but we don't do that like in the supermarket, in the fridge. We go there and we just buy it very fresh because we're very lucky to get that fresh, of course. So I can understand that. And it's all about that. But also how we do things, you know. Also, if you don't have that kind of mozzarella, maybe you can get another kind of cheese. So we have this explosions of all the cheeses that you can imagine. You can put whatever you want, of course, on a pizza. But and when they tell me, oh, my favorite is the pineapple one, like get out, and you're gonna get in jail if you ask that here. Can you imagine that? And so, yeah, it's amazing for me to understand also this kind of cultural differences where you guys put chicken barbecue on a pizza and we just put tomato sauce and cheese on it. We're very simple, you know. We don't do anything fancy, but that's pretty much it.
It's funny you mentioned that because my friend Francesco from Sicily, he has I know he's got some relatives in America, but I think he's with friends, and they gave him they got him the pineapple pizza from Domino's, and he said, it's not so bad. And I was like, I think you're being polite.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's funny you say this. You have to imagine. I mean, I had so many experiences with pizza, but usually when I go abroad, of course, I don't eat pizza at all because I want to taste, you know, the local food, and that's obvious. But there was one instance that I was forced to eat pizza abroad, and that was a hell of an experience. I was in London, England, and everything during Christmas Eve. So everything was like completely closed, shut down. People were not opening their restaurant, not even if you would go there with a knife, nothing. They were just closed. And so I went there and I was like, what should I eat today? Even McDonald's, if you want to go to McDonald's. No, they were
It was
closed,
closed.
nothing. That was nothing but one thing, a pizzeria. That was the only thing open. So I was like, oh gosh, should I? Went there. It was an amazing pizzeria, Neapolitan pizzeria. These guys were from well, Sicily, half of them, and then the other half was from Naples. And they'd be like, look, we import our ingredients every 48 hours from Naples.
Oh,
Like, oh wow, that's promising. So they got me a pizza. I paid £25. So, which is like 30 euros, I'm not sure dollars should be like $33, something like that, which could not, it's not maybe an enormous amount of money for people that are in the States and go maybe to New York or maybe Chicago. That there are some pizzerias that will sell you, at least that's what they told me. There are some pizzerias that can even sell you some pizzas at that price. I'm pretty sure about Australia, for example. Australia is crazy when it comes to pizzerias. But for me, paying a pizza like $30, it was, you know, it was not in this world, because Naples is the average price for a pizza is like 5 to 6. 5 to 6 bucks, you gotta eat a whole big pizza for yourself. But that was one of the best pizzas I've ever had. I don't know why, how, and when, but that was amazing. That was just unbelievable. So I'm so glad I at least ate something. It was great. So you can find, I think, something Napoli all over the world, right? You can always find Napoli all over the world because we are all over the world. And right where you don't expect it to be, Napoli is going to help you out. Like it helped me out during Christmas Eve because everything was shut down and I was so hungry. So yes, there's always Napoli in the world. So check it out,
There
believe
was
me.
a it was gone the last time I was there, and it was several years ago, but there was a really good Italian Neapolitan restaurant, and right in the middle of London near the theater district. I don't remember the name, but I went in there and they had the gnocchi Sorrentino, and one of my favorite dishes. And I was like, I said to him, I said, this is like my grandmother's. I said, this is really, really good. And I don't know, maybe they lost their lease or something because it was an expensive part of London, and maybe the prices just got away, and then they just couldn't keep it up anymore because of the cost. But it was
Yeah.
like you said, it was right in the heart of London, and the food was very, 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 very good. I mean, we have the Italian American food here, and it's so funny because we just visited my daughter in Dallas last week, and we passed an Olive Garden, and she said, when we got to Italy, when we got to, I thought I was going to have the best fettuccine Alfredo that I ever ate, and then I found out they don't have fettuccine Alfredo in
No,
Italy.
this is so, this is, I watched so many videos about it because I didn't know what in the hell was fettuccine Alfredo. I mean, people were telling me, oh, try that. Where can we find the best fettuccine Alfredo in Naples? Like, what in the hell is that? Who's Alfredo, first of all? And then I read the story of you guys, where it comes from. And that makes sense, pretty much. It does make sense. It was a very lucky guy who invented the fettuccine Alfredo. But no, you're not going to find any fettuccine Alfredo here. Maybe if you go more into the touristy cities like Rome, I would say Venice, where now they do understand what you guys mean by fettuccine Alfredo. Maybe you can. And by the way, it's fettuccine. Okay,
Yeah, that's
I
right.
always
Yeah,
went along
we
with you, but no, it's
I
fettuccine.
know.
And yeah, maybe those cities, maybe you can find some very touristy restaurant that has it. But if you look at the menu and you find a fettuccine Alfredo in Italy, you know that it's a touristy thing. You
Oh,
know that
that's a good tip. That's a good tip.
I mean, they might be the best restaurant, okay? And they also do the best fettuccine Alfredo. I don't know. But if I ever like restaurant fettuccine Alfredo, I'm like, oh man, this is a little bit touristy thing, But it could be a good gain from the restaurant itself. They have their own strategy where they want to get as many tourists as possible, and then also their kitchen is fabulous, and so why not? But I've never seen anything like that. At least on the restaurants that I've been to Italy, never seen anything on the menu called fettuccine Alfredo. Nothing, never. Ever in my life.
When
Ever, ever, ever.
we were in Sorrento, my son was a baby, so we would eat the main meal in the afternoon because it was just easier. And I would either eat gnocchi or veal. And my wife said, "You're eating the same thing every day." I said, I'm in Italy. My two favorite foods, gnocchi and veal. That's what I'm going to eat." And then what we would do is we had a little condo type place. So for dinner, we would just go down and get a loaf of bread and some salami and ham and cheese and a bottle of wine, which at the time I think was about well, we were dealing with lira back then, but I know it was the equivalent of about a buck to get a bottle of wine back then in Sorrento. I'm
Right.
sure it's not that price anymore. But,
No.
and then one of the fun things that we did, St. Stephen's Table or something like that. They had a big street festival with. And I asked, and they said, "Oh, well, it's like a festival, but it's just food." So I said, "Well, it's
Right.
okay. We'll try it." Well, I didn't know that you had to buy tickets to get the food in the first place, so that kind of threw me.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to food, the Italians don't believe in lines. They just all surged for the food. But it was a lot of fun. Once I finally figured out the deal, it was a lot of fun.
I mean, I can tell you one thing, at least for the wines that we have here in our region. I can't speak for the north because the north has different kinds of wines, different pricing. But generally speaking, let's say, generally speaking, here, if you want to get like a good bottle of wine, like good bottle of wine, $10. It doesn't really, it's not necessary to go. Again, depends on how expert you are, depends on all the things, but let's say you just want to, you just enjoy wine in general, okay? And you don't want to spend a fortune on it. You're not going to spend a fortune here, okay? I've seen bottles of wine made here that are like $80, and that is like, whoa, $80 is super expensive. And that is like two, three of them in terms of brands that actually can make that pricing. But if you really want to get a good bottle of wine, 10, $15, you're there. I mean, you're going to experience a great bottle of wine made here, and amazing to pair with, like, either you want fish or you want, I'm talking about buying in the supermarkets, of course. So if you go to restaurant things, of course, a little bit different. But when it comes to that, it's just amazing, the pricing that we have. And even if you know like a good brand, you can also go there and spend $7, $8, and you're gonna drink a beautiful bottle of white wine. I've done this in the past, and during Sundays, for example. Now it's going to get summertime. So during summertime, we always eat fish here in Naples. Okay. So Sunday, a lunch is gonna be fish, it's gonna be mussels, it's gonna be a lot of wine involved. And if I ever had to go to the supermarket and I want to spend like a good bottle of wine, again, 10 to $15, that's the range, and you're gonna be like a superhero for the family, believe me. So it's important, for us, it's important to understand how things go here. And that's how we're always used to that. There's nothing really special about the pricing, but you're gonna get a fantastic bottle of wine. So
Well,
believe me, Bob.
and even in the restaurants, it wasn't bad. It wasn't like here. I mean, here
Absolutely.
here you're going to pay for a mediocre bottle of wine in a restaurant,
Yeah.
$25 to $30.
Yeah.
And in an expensive the restaurant, even more than that. But I found the restaurants there were very reasonable, as far as the wine. And then the other fabulous thing about Naples, of course, is the pastry.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, you got me there. 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, long story short about the pastry. We had a tour back in 2019 that we're currently not doing anymore for many reasons. But if there was a tour where the tour was called Limoncello Tasting with Pastry. And so we had this beautiful walk through the streets of Naples, where you could eat a wallet pizza. That's how we call it. It's like a small pizza where you can fold it and eat it as it is. It's amazing. And you would drink a little bit of limoncello, and we would take you into a factory of limoncello. And from there, you would eat pastry in Naples. And one thing that always surprised me about the pastry in Naples, first of all, is the quality, because you know better than me, the quality of the pastry is just out of this world. And how good people are at making those pastries, because it's not that easy. I mean, for some kind of pastries that we have, it's not really an easy process. And third is the pricing. The pricing, yeah, I don't know if people can understand the pricing of Naples. I mean, I'm used to that. So I'm like, okay, well, 1 euro and 50 for a pastry. I'm like, wow, okay, that's good. Yeah, but it could be less. But when people come here and they go up to me and be like, I ate this pizza yesterday and it was like 10 euros. I was like, 10 euros? Are you crazy? What are you doing? Or I ate this pastry here and I paid $4. I'm like, where? I mean, where did you go? No way. So in Naples, you can get a lunch in terms of like street food. You just walk through the streets. You can get a small pizza for 1 euro and 50, let's say. So like $2. a Coke if you want to go fancy, and you paid like $4 and you're having a full meal. And you want to go to pastry, you add another buck and you're done. I mean, $5 to $6, you're done for the day. And believe me, you are done for the day because the things are pretty big. I know in the States are the portions are just enormous, but for us, things that here in Naples, especially here in Naples, the portions are all so good, very big. Not as big as you guys have, but it's big at least for us. That's what I heard. At least that's why they told me that the portion in the States are just wow, so big. But we keep going on this. If you go to a restaurant and you want to eat pasta, 9% of the times it's gonna be like a big plate of pasta. It depends where you go, of course, but and you pay like $6, $7 for it, and you're done. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing to live here.
Yeah, I was going to a little place, because we were just off the Spaconopoli, and I was going to a little. I found a little place that, coffee place, and I was getting, depending on who was drinking coffee, would get like, two or three cappuccinos, and I liked Americano, and maybe, two, three, or four pastries, for under 10 euros usually. And if I bought the something for everybody, for maybe 12 euros, but and I would go back and tell my wife, said, how much was that? I said, 10 euros for all of this. And what for people listening, the Italian pastries here and the Italian pastries in Naples, completely different again.
Whole different
They
thing.
have the same names for the most part, but what we found was that the cream is a lot less sweet in Naples than it is here. It's very, the cream is very sweet here, and there it's much more mellow and, flavorful. My favorite is sfogliatella, so that's my favorite pastry.
Spogliatella.
Sfogliatella, yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay. Do you get it
Doesn't
ricca
compare.
or what? Do you get it crunchy or no crunchy?
Yeah, no, crunchy, yeah, the
Okay.
crunchy.
Good choice. That's
And my friend who
favorite as
moved,
well.
she moved to Salerno 7 years ago. She says, you have to get it hot. If you get it hot, it's
Yeah.
even better.
Yeah. The hotter the better. The hotter the better. And speaking of the limoncello as well, Bob, I'm pretty much sure that people that have been here would like to come here, especially to the coast, know a little bit about this magical liquor that we have, the limoncello. You know, it's basically lemon sugar, water, and of course alcohol. And there's also a little bit of a cultural thing about limoncello, you know, because there's like a rivalry here going on because we don't know where it actually comes from. You know, who actually started. There are stories where it says, no, it comes from the coast of Sorrento because they made it there and then it made it popular in the 70s. And then there are stories about Capri Island of people actually having this kind of liquor in Capri and then got spread worldwide thanks to the kingdom, the Spanish kingdom here in Naples. And then it went all over the country. And I can tell you one thing. The limoncello that I tasted in Naples, in Capri, in Sorrento, those are all great. Absolutely wonderful. There's one in particular, though, that I can mention. Well, there are three in particular. One is in the city of Naples in a factory of limoncello, and that is just amazing. They made them. I mean, they just made it there. I mean, you see people working with the lemons, and they peel all the lemons, and they squeeze, and they put it in a tank, and they just made the limoncello, and then you come back like 10 days after, and you got the bottle of limoncello ready. But one in particular is in Sorrento, where we have this experience. And I went there, it was amazing. You know, it's a harvesting and tasting experience in Sorrento. So you're going to harvest the lemon trees, and you're going to make your own limoncello, and you're going to make your own granita, which is, of course, the ice and lemon, basically. That's it. And that experience, you know, of seeing people getting more and more into the cultural. Of the coast, and also meeting the family that has that, you know, field of all the lemons and so on. It's an amazing scene. Again, there are many ways of making limoncello. There are a lot of people that make limoncello. Each of the store, they have a different way of doing it. But when you do it, when you learn how to make a limoncello, how to harvest the lemon tree, what is the process behind it? gives you a little bit of a different idea rather than go and buy in the liquor store the bottle of limoncello and getting drunk at home. I mean, you can get drunk at home with your limoncello. Try to think about
I've
that.
made my
That
I've made it here. I've made my own.
you made it.
It's
Okay,
not,
yes,
our
that's
lemons aren't the
the
same, but I have made it.
exactly. Well, I can tell, but try to imagine that. You can get drunk with your limoncello. What better thing, right? I mean, it's an amazing
Well, Dario, this is, I mean, I could go on for another 3 hours here.
Oh, don't tell me that.
this has been fascinating, a lot of fun for sure, a lot of good tips. Before we go, for somebody coming to Naples, what are the three top places that they must see?
So if you're talking about the city of Naples,
Yeah, the
because
city
if you
itself.
go the city
The city
itself, so
itself.
right behind you got that beautiful view where all the boats are, and then you have that beautiful boardwalk where it goes from there to that castle. That is a number one thing that it's a walking experience that you should do. If you want to go like to museums, well, that castle now is closed, but there is another castle that I was talking about before. It's called the Mastiangerino. You have the National Museum. You have the Cristo Velato, which is another tiny, tiny, let's say, church, but it's not no longer a church where you can see Jesus Christ, the sculptures of Jesus Christ. And believe me, if you're hearing this, just check it out. It's amazing. Cristo Velato is amazing. And just go by the streets of Naples, Spanish quarters. You go to Spaccanapoli, as you said. Don't wait too much in line for pizzerias. If you check on the internet, there are like four or five pizzerias that all the travel guys will tell you to go. You must go in this pizzeria. You go there, you wait 2 hours in line, and then you get in. Not worth it. Not worth it. Pizzerias in Naples are all great, okay? There is nothing too special about the most famous place, the best pizzeria. There is no best pizzeria in Naples, okay? All of them are really good. So just go TripAdvisor, 5-star reviews, and you go with that, okay? Don't wait 2 hours. That's the number one tip that I can give you. But just explore the city. Walk, get lost, and then don't lose anything, of course, but get yourself lost into the culture. Don't be afraid of showing who you are with the Neapolitans, especially during weekends. People are very friendly, especially with tourists. They want to, learn where you're from. They're going to speak like not that great of an English sometimes. You can also find people that speak great English, but just go with it. Just go with it. Just go with the flow. Just go with the traffic. Just go with people honking and telling names on you. Just go with it, right? Don't respond, but just go with it, right? Just go with it. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. Believe me, Bob, and you know better than me. It's an experience. It's an experience where you have to deal with it. Maybe sometimes you can get your apartment and you might think that that is not a cool area to be, or maybe it's a little bit, here in the sketchy areas. Don't worry, just go with it. Just absorb everything you can absorb, walk all the streets and have fun, because Neapolitans love to have fun.
Yeah, and we learned, my tip is don't try and get out of the way of the scooters. They'll go around
Oh
you.
yeah. Yeah.
Let them maneuver. That's the best thing to do.
Absolutely. I'm one of them. I'm one of them ride the scooters, and I can tell you just go. Don't worry. We're gonna deal with that. You just pass, all right? The number one rule here is to not kill and not get killed when you cross the street. So that's it. Also crossing the street, and you know better than me what that is, right? Just go. Don't wait because they're not gonna stop, right? If you find someone polite, the hundreds behind them is not. They're not gonna be polite. So just go. Cross the street. Be careful. Cross the street and be like, okay, I'm coming. You see me now. And you cross the street. That's because I see a lot of tourists standing there. You're like, when are they stopping? They're never gonna stop. There's no way they're gonna stop. So just
I learned that in Sorrento. We were trying to get across, everybody was going home for at noon to eat and everything, and we were trying to cross, and I saw a car with like four nuns in it, and I said to my wife, I said, "The nuns are coming, they'll stop." No, they didn't. The nuns didn't stop either.
then
They
no,
just kept going.
yeah.
And
Again, it's
along that walk behind me, there were some really, really great restaurants back there too. To your point, Gianfranco said, If you want to walk back, I'll let you off here. And I asked him for a restaurant, and he told me where to go. I don't remember the name, but it was really, really great, right on the water and everything. And to your point, everybody is very helpful. Everybody is very friendly. And if they find out that you have family there, it's even better. If your
Oh,
family's
yeah.
from Naples, they just love it. And I had family in Torre del Greco and Cercola and Massa di Soma, and everybody was just wonderful. And like I said, Torre del Greco is big, but Cercola is just small little area outside of it. You wouldn't know that you were so close to Naples, and so you
Oh,
have to
yeah.
go to the hometown. And we didn't go there, but Gianfranco was telling us about the town. Was it Gragnano, the macaroni town?
Yes, Gragnano is the pasta
Gragnano.
town,
Yeah.
which we also have an experience there,
There you go. And I didn't know that.
and
So see, well, this isn't
I'm
a sale.
yeah, we have a pasta experience in Gragnano, where, so for all of you guys listening, Gragnano is like the pasta town. We say it's the pasta town because that is where most of the south part of Italy, Gragnano is like the city where pasta is made. So we have this experience where you go into this beautiful, beautiful place where you learn how to make pasta, but you see actually pasta being made, and then you're gonna eat always, as always, your creation with local wines of Gragnano, which is also a very, very special, special city for wines. There is one in particular, it's called the Gragnano, and that is a bubbly red wine, and it's just unbelievable to pair it with pasta. So yes, to your point, that is it. And you also mentioned Massa di Soma, and a small mention to that, because my girlfriend was born in Massa di Soma, and now she's not living there, but it's yes, all close, very close. And one particular thing that I can tell you is the differences of dialect. Now you might think that maybe Naples and maybe the south of Italy, so we all have dialects here in Italy, as you know, but if you go like Napoli, and you said before Torre del Greco, and it's like what, 10, 20 minutes of distance? Things change when it comes to language. Things do change, believe me. So it's not that we're not going to understand each other. We might take a laugh because they have a specific kind of pronunciation in some words. But the thing changes. And just try to imagine what could be the difference between like Naples and Sicily, for example. Now, if we're talking about a city that's like 20 minutes away from here and they have different way of saying things, let's imagine, if you go to Sicily and you're from Naples, our dialects, we just can't. We can't understand each other. So also this cultural difference made currently Italy a little bit divided on that. Because we have our really origins, very structural origins, the languages, for example, our dialect is a recognized language, and it was spoken among the royals that we had here in Naples. So that was like the language that you had to speak if you want to speak to the king, for example. And now we all know the dialect, especially in the south of Italy. A dialect are very much well known. North now is losing a little bit of their cultural dialects and so on. You got people from Milan, for example, not all of them can speak the right Milanese, so the right dialect of Milan. And I don't want to judge, but it's bad because it's still a cultural thing, right? You still have to know that because it's where all your ancestors have always spoken that kind of language. And now in the South, that's why you can have a more authentic experience, in my opinion. Nothing bad to say about the North. I'm an Italy as a nation. I love Italy as a nation, but I'm from Naples. So I got to tell you that Naples is the real deal, right? So, that's it. That's it.
Via Cante Piramalo, that was my great great grandfather.
Okay. Lovely.
So
Wow.
when
Lovely.
you when and I don't remember if that was in Cercola or Massa di Soma, but I know he owned a lot of stuff in Massa di Soma.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as the story goes, my second great grandfather liked women and gambling a little bit too much. So
Oh, okay.
his
That
part of the
happens.
fortune went. out the window, but be that as it may. So, how do people get in touch with you, and how do they book a tour on Naples together?
So NaplesTogether.com, that's where you can find all our destinations, our tours. We're now getting even more and more tours on our website. We recently had a pizza making experience in Ischia, for example, which is in our town very close to Capri. We have boat tours in Capri, kayaking, paddleboarding for the summer activities in case you're coming to Naples. But we also have really cool cooking classes, and that the one that I said before, Amalfi, always is like in my mind because unbelievable. If you want to take part and meet me, you can book a pizza making experience in Naples, and that is something that I would highly encourage you. But also try to look at the other destinations. For example, we have things in Rome that now we're developing very much. But going back to the thread, it's been a wild adventure for me starting Naples Together when I was 21, and now it's becoming more and more, big, a little bit bigger than what it was. And we just started like that, and we're currently on TripAdvisor being, I think, the fifth in the area of Naples out of like 300 people that, or tour operators, as they like to say. So NaplesTogether.com. And just go there if you want to get some infos on the tours. If you want to get discounts, I'm gonna be your guy. So just say that you listen to me on Bob's, and that's I can do something for you guys. But in general, that's me, Naples Together, and my brother. And you can contact us also on info@naplestogether.com. Guys, we can plan everything for you in the town, even if you just want a suggestion. Reach out, no worries. We always want to promote Naples and our territory. And of course, if you want to meet us, it's fine. Otherwise, just text us whatever you guys have in mind, and we can arrange something.
That's great. That's great. I really appreciate it. Well, thanks for the time. And for sure, I'll be back in Naples. Don't worry. So we'll get together.
Bob, I trust you. You got to be back here. And if I ever come to New Jersey, you're going to show me a little bit of the Sopranos kind of, casting, or because I'm a huge fan. I just went down with it, and you got to show me something, man. I want that. And also, of course, I want something from Frank Sinatra as well, because I need it. I just need it.
Well, I'm going to make you fettuccine Alfredo and chicken parmesan. So,
Man, I'm not coming. I'm not coming, then. I'm sorry. You come to me. I'm not coming to you, boy. That ain't gonna happen.
well,
Thank
thanks again.
you so much,
Appreciate it.
Bob.
All right.
Absolutely.
Hi, everyone. This is Bob Sorrentino. Just letting you know that my new book, Farmers and Nobles, is now available for sale on www.italiangenealogy.blog/farmersandnobles, or you can find the link in the podcast notes. Thanks for listening.